Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
So 6:43 is where we're at this morning. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Good to have you in our company. We move along now to our first feature. Now, in this day and age we find ourselves in, it's unlikely for anyone to be debt-free. We'd all love to imagine a life of, you know, being debt-free, but not so much. So what happens when two becomes one? You know, does that mean that the day I say I do is the day I say your debt is my debt? Now, the good news apparently is that when you do decide to marry the partner of your dreams, it doesn't mean your credit score and that of your spouse will automatically merge. However, there are a few things to know before you tie the knot. And in this regard, we are speaking this morning to Head of Research and Consumer Education at the National Debt Advisors, and that's Mushfika Bwatha. Mushfika, assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam. Shukran for having me.
Now, of course, you know, taking that big step to tie the knot is one thing, but of course, you know, finances always become a thing. So perhaps, you know, to expound on what happens or what should be happening and what are the questions we need to ask prior to tying the knot when it comes to partners and their credit ratings.
With February being the month of love, I'm always one to advocate for, even if you're dating somebody, don't worry as much about meeting his parents. Ask them for their credit report.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them for their credit report. Because the credit report is very, very vital, especially if you're going to be married in community of property. Because though there are benefits to being married in community of property, there are also disadvantages which cannot be overlooked. One of the biggest disadvantages is dealing with debt. Because when you're married in community of property, the spouses share the debt. And a creditor can claim debt from either one of the spouses. In other words, debt in any assets that are acquired before or during the existence of your marriage is shared. So what I find very, very often happening is that I'll get people and they'll come in and they'll know that things are not looking good on the debt side. Things are a little bit rocky. They've missed a payment here and there. They'll come in as a couple. We then, people come into National Debt Advisors. We pull their credit reports. Very, very often, the one spouse will not know of debt incurred by the other spouse.
Mm.
And that is alarming to me, the amount of secrecy, the lack of transparency that I'm seeing in unions, in marriages, surrounding debt. What also happens is that the one spouse might have a far better credit score and a far better credit rating and a far better history of dealing with their debt than the other. But when you're married in community of property, that does not matter. It does not matter, even if the one spouse is far more financially viable than the other, the debt is both. Your debt literally becomes my debt. And in the industry, we actually know that to be as an STD, sexually transmitted debt.
Mm.
And that's something to really take into account when you ask yourself, you know, should I marry in community of property? Because it does mean that if you do get married in community of property and if one partner gets into financial trouble somewhere down the road, even if they don't start out with a bad financial credit record, you are going to be held accountable as well.
And Mushfika, you know, if couples decide to go down that route of community and property, there is no way that they can get out of merging those credits, credit ratings, is there?
You would have to, you could apply to the court, but it's a very, very lengthy process. I would definitely say, you know, you can change your marriage status, but you can choose to amend the marital regime to one of out of community of property.
Mm-hmm.
But that amending the marital regime is provided for in the Matrimonial Property Act. Section 21.1 of the Act provides that a married couple may jointly apply to the court in order to amend the existing matrimonial property regime. But there are requirements. There must be sound reasons for the proposed change. Notice of intention to amend must be given to the Registrar of the Deeds. It must be published in the Government Gazette and two local newspapers at least 2 weeks prior to the date. There must be a draft of a contract. Rights of creditors must be reserved. So what I would say is to avoid all of this. You know what? Prevention is better than cure. Rather sit down and have this vitally important conversation before you tie the knot. Rather sit down and know exactly how you want your finances to be run in the marriage before. And I do think that these are conversations that should be taking place, and I do think these are conversations which are taking place.
Having said that, Mushfiqa, you know, finances, or the topic of finances, whether, you know, within marriage or out of marriage, is a very tricky and sticky topic and situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes couples might opt to wait a bit and not have those conversations, especially when it comes, you've mentioned, you know, to ask for the credit reports. You know, if your better half or other half opts not to share that information just yet, how do you sort of maneuver around that?
You know, I think just before we get to how you maneuver around that, I think, again, this comes back down to our education system and our ability to speak openly about our finances, our ability to speak openly about our debt, and the ability to go past the guilt and shame which as society we have placed on people with debt. Also, you know, with a country who is sitting with consumer debt of about 1.5 trillion, 1.5 trillion dollars worth of consumer debt. I really do think we've got to get to the point where we know that, you know what, I'm not in this alone. There are very many people who are actually in the same situation as what I am, and really should get to past the whys, the hows. Yes, I may have overspent. Yes, I may have bought things that I shouldn't have bought. Yes, I may have made bad financial decisions. But very often it just comes down to the circumstances have changed. I've been put on short time. I have not, my salary increase has not kept up with inflation. So I do also think that we've really got to get to the point where we start speaking more about this, so that when it comes to the important times in our lives, that we are not hindered and held back by societal pressures on debt. I would, however, suggest that if somebody is, if you're in a relationship and you're going forth with a marriage, that you actually just become, you have to be quite strong on this point before you get married. I think it's vitally important that you know as a spouse in a marriage to be exactly what your partner's debt situation is before you get married, specifically in community of property. And also, just so that you know, that if you get married, and we're not talking simply by Muslim civil rights, we're talking about if you get married with a registered marriage officer, by default, you are married in community of property. So that is something that we have to take into account. I do think it's a vitally important decision. If you have a partner that is saying to you, oh, no, I don't want to discuss this now, let's do it after we're married, I would just pull the brakes a little bit, sit down and say, you know what, no, this is really, really important to me. Going forward, I need to know who I am married to in terms of their finances. And it's not, it's really not, to say that, oh, I'm not going to get married to you if you have too much debt. I think if you're in a relationship, in a solid relationship, and you're going into marriage, you've also got to be able to say, okay, as adults, how do we navigate around this bad financial situation?
Mushfiqa, in terms of, you know, the day and age when you decide to get married or get into a relationship, etc., and, you know, you have these prenuptial contracts, you know, how would that affect, you know, whoever's legally responsible for paying off debts?
You know, if you decide to get married out of community of property or out of community of property with accrual, a prenuptial agreement is required. This is a legal document that lays out the division of assets mm-hmm. in the event that the marriage should end. Now, a lot of people find that notion very unromantic. A mm-hmm. lot of people find that notion sort of, oh, you know what, we're already saying things are not going to work out, so we're already working yeah. out the terms of divorce even before we're married. Mm-hmm. And a lot of couples are not happy with that. And in society, a lot of parents are not happy with their children signing prenups. It's sort of, well, I didn't raise my child to get divorced. Why are we working out terms of divorce now already? A prenup, however, should not be seen, I think, as planning for failure, but rather as a safety measure. If everything goes well, it's just a piece of paper that you will never have to use. But if things don't go according to plan, it will make matters a lot less complicated.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of, you know, if you decide to get separated, or if there's a divorce taking place, or if a partner dies, you know, how is your debt then affected?
Well, if it's in community of property, you would be, the spouse would be liable for that, and therefore I'm saying these are all things that you've got to take into account before you go into the union. I must say to you, though, that I'm finding that at National Debt Advisors, a lot of our applications, mm-hmm. Which are normally you get joint applications. Joint applications have declined. In 2018, 2019, about 20% of our new clients were joint applications, which were in married in community of property. And in addition to this, about, you know, 35% of those who actually signed up for debt counseling, whereas about 50% of those actually inquired. So I am finding that people are not moving forth with financial transactions because they are married in community of property. Mm-hmm. People are not acquiring things together, even if they are married in community of property, because people are worried about what if death comes, what if divorce comes, yeah. what if something goes wrong, and I am then responsible for the collective yeah. debt. So I do think couples rush into marriage, and before they realize it, they become bound by South Africa's default marriage regime, which is the in-community of property. And, you know, that literally means that one joint estate belongs to both spouses in equal, undivided shares.
Sure.
So I think it's vitally important, Sabrina, that these conversations be had before marriage.
And if you could just, you know, on a final note, in terms of advice to our listeners, especially those that are still single, if you will, but could be going into relationships or marriage in the near future, what would you advise them in terms of, you know, getting married in community of property, and especially with regards to finances, you know, judging by the fact that, you know, we have such a poor credit rating here in South Africa in terms of our debt level sitting so high. You know, as a debt advisor, what would you say to those people?
I would say think very, very carefully. I would say sit down with a financial advisor, sit down with a debt counselor, get as much information on the different types of marriage regimes in South Africa, and take into account your specific relationship. Because right now we can't also sort of put a blanket solution on everybody's situation, because everybody's financial situation is different. You could get, two people where the one is far more financially stable and secure than the other, who is far more over indebted. So I do think that as a couple, lay everything on the table. Be very, very honest. It comes down to honesty, transparency, which every relationship wants and needs to go forth into marriage in any event. So I would say make an appointment with a financial advisor, with a debt counselor, to see exactly, draw credit reports. Credit reports can be drawn for free. You get one free credit report from the credit bureaus. Do yourself that favor. Get a credit report. Sit down. Be honest and then decide what is the best way forth for you.
Mashuga, there's one question that has come through. Perhaps, you know, you could comment on it. I'm not too sure, but someone has a message in to say, you know, prior to traveling on Hajj, they had changed their surname over from their maiden surname to their married surname. However, the house, the car, all the assets that this woman had, she had purchased prior to getting married. However, now when she visits the bank, etc., all of those assets have been transferred onto her married surname. How do things then work?
Well, I do think personally, what I would have done before I did anything like that, I would have drawn up a contract.
Mm-hmm.
I would have before I had gone, and I'm not sure whether it was a if I again, it's difficult to answer this when you don't have all the facts at your disposal, because also, did she go and change her surname, and did she then get married at court, have a civil ceremony? Was she married in a civil ceremony before that and she just changed her surname, or was it simply a nikah, which is seen as a civil ceremony, and then she changed it? So it's a little bit difficult to answer without having those facts at my disposal. But I do think that before you do anything drastic with your marital status, again, financial advisor, an attorney, and then just make sure as to how it's going to affect you, your assets and everything after the fact.
Okay, she's just mentioned that it was just a nikah, and she just had to change her surname for purpose of travel.
Again, changing your surname, did you literally just go to Home Affairs and change your surname, or did you go to Home Affairs, have a civil ceremony, and then change your surname? Because if you had a civil ceremony then you are married in community of property by default.
Okay.
And this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, is that people should be very, very careful. That people are saying, oh, no, I'm not signing a contract that makes it community of property. South African law is that if you are married by a registered officer, which would be somebody at Home Affairs at the court, by default, you are then married in community of property, and what's yours is yours, and what's yours and what is your husband becomes joint.
Right.
And this is something that you've got to be very careful about. So I do think, I don't know but if it was a registered marriage officer that then married her and her husband, so that she then changed her surname, then it is by default community of property.
All right. Well, Mashuga, thanks so much for chatting to us this morning. It's certainly a very interesting topic, and I'm sure with more time we could delve further. But I'm sure the advice that you have shared with our listeners this morning will certainly, you know, serve them in good light. But we thank you so much for joining us online this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure. And as I say, do your homework before the time. Prevention is definitely better. Thank you.
Absolutely. And that was Head of Research and Consumer Education at National Debt Advisors, Mashuga Botha, speaking to